Tonight on Life on the Rock, we have Father Agustino Torres, part one. We'll go inside the friary and much more.
Tonight on Life on the Rock, we have Father Agustino Torres, CFR priest, author of a new Advent book called Prepare Your Heart. And Father's going to show and share his insights on how we can really open ourselves up to the Lord during this Advent season. This is a part one of two shows. We're now going inside the friary with Father Leonard on the Transitus of St. Francis.
Hello, everyone. We are inside the friary today, and October 4th is the feast day of St. Francis of Assisi, our father, the father of all the entire Franciscan order. And this is a great and solemn day that we celebrate. But our celebrations begin the night before, and this is when we celebrate something called the Transitus, and that is St. Francis's going from this life to life with God. So we're going to take you into our celebrations today. We're here at the Shrine of the Blessed Sacrament and show you how we commemorate this holy event.
Saints are models for us both in life and at the moments of their death. And it's edifying to hear the description of how the saints who practiced heroic virtue, how they spent their very last moments on this earth.
Celebration of the Transitus of St. Francis of Assisi. As you saw, you know, they had a little reading of the life of St. Francis, where we also prayed evening prayer, and the nuns, the sisters, their singing, their chanting was angelic. So it was a very blessed time. And Father Patrick, he's going to bless us with the first class relic of St. Francis of Assisi. But before he does that, thank you for tuning in. Please like, comment, share, subscribe, tell all your friends about this, and Father, bless us.
Through the intercession of our Holy Father, St. Francis, may the Lord fill you with an abundance of his peace and grant you growth in the perfection of charity. And may God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Father Agustino, welcome to Life on the Rock.
Thank you so much.
It's great to have you here. Saw you out in World Youth Day a few months back, and I know you were very busy during that time, and I thought it was a very grace-filled time. But now, a few months forward, we're moving into Advent, and I think that's a special time. Just in the Christian life in general, the Franciscan life in particular, as we prepare for Christmas, the coming of our Lord here during Christmas time. But before that, we prepare, you know, for our Lord and his coming. And you've also written a new book called Prepare Your Hearts. And I think it's a great way to begin Advent. And I wanted to ask you, what inspired you to write this book?
Well, as Franciscans, Advent is just such a powerful, beautiful time. Not like we have the market cornered on Advent, of course not. But St. Francis, his spirituality was so incarnational.
Right.
You know, just like from the crèche scene to just the cross, you know, he wanted to just be with Jesus. And so in our formation in the Bronx and in Harlem, like we would just go all out for Christmas and Advent, of course, leading up to it. But just prepare the hearts of the people for the coming of our Lord, bringing joy to places that need, right, that joy that Jesus can bring. And so it's always been a part of our tradition to go all in. And to help other people prepare their hearts spiritually has always been a part of it. So this is just me putting to paper that what we've been trying to do for years.
I think you just said something so important, and you can miss it, but just that longing to be with Jesus that was so near to St. Francis, because I think a lot of times in our walk, our Christian walk, we can grow indifferent or away, you know, but a lot of times Advent is a way to rekindle that fire, that spiritual growth, that longing for Jesus who's coming to us, that wants to bless us. And so I think that's a rather remarkable thing for us to, do we have that longing, that desire to be with Jesus?
Absolutely. I mean, of course, I love all the liturgical seasons. I love them all equally. Actually, no, I really like Lent. It's one of my favorites. But then after that, Advent is just such a joyful time. Some people, you know, they say like, oh, how can you like Lent? You know, like, well, you know, but Advent, it's just, I don't think people know how to do Advent right though, brother.
Right, yeah.
I think that it's kind of like it's Christmas after Halloween, right? Mm-hmm. Halloween.
Oh, yeah.
They start playing Christmas songs and we miss the point. And I'm kind of adamant about, you know, with my young adults, I was like, okay, Christmas songs, great. They're beautiful, but let's sing them in Christmas time.
Right.
Advent songs, we need to prepare our hearts. Yeah. And when you prepare your heart and you wait and that day comes, it's just like it's so beautiful when you receive. When you've been preparing for something and it arrives, it's just like, wow. And this is also, as we know, Advent is not just about the birth of Jesus. It's about preparing our hearts for the second coming of Jesus. Because the Lord is going to come back.
Right.
And to prepare our hearts for that day.
And I think, you said something very key, that in our culture, it's become very materialistic, you know, not something spiritual and uplifting that draws us closer to God. And I just noticed, just out in town, you know, after, you know, Halloween, you know, immediately you're jumping into Christmas. And a lot of times there is that, you know, preparation, maybe the commercial side of it and how it's a lot of times advertised, but then you have Christmas Day and then it just ends. And it's like, bloof, gone. But that's really not the Christian spirit because the time for Advent, that's a time of preparation, of fasting, of prayer, of penance, of making vigils, you know, of really drawing us into a deeper conversion. And then we go into the celebration, the feasting. But it's like in the world, everything's reversed. It's out of order.
Yeah. I mean, I really like some of the old traditions. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember hearing that, you know, the Christmas tree, you would leave it up sometimes even to the 2nd of February for the presentation. Because that was the Christmas season. Now things have kind of like, you know, rearranged a little bit. There's different emphasis. But like this, the song, the 12 Days of Christmas, there was 12 days from the 25th of December to the 6th of January, mm-hmm. which is when we would normally celebrate the Feast of the Three Kings, the Epiphany. Mm-hmm. But now it's kind of moved to certain Sundays and all that's fine. But we could still celebrate it. That's the good thing. We could still sing those songs and celebrate it in the home, keep the decorations up, pass this on to the children, because when you pass it on to the children, it takes a whole other wonder. And how beautiful it is to cultivate that wonder in the children today.
Was there ever a time in your life, maybe when you were younger, that maybe Advent or Christmas kind of resonated with you more?
When I was younger, I don't think I really understood. So my family, we kind of like came back to the church. Yeah. And so Christmas was kind of like Christmas, right? And thanks be to God, through His grace, you know, the Lord kind of like called my family back to really practicing the faith with our whole heart. And then Advent began when I was more towards high school, you know, beginning to help out with the youth group, you know, singing the right songs, you know, helping people out, doing acts of charity during Advent. Like, these were all things that, you know, I just didn't really know to do. And so I remember, you know, going to the centers where there's a lot of, you know, older brothers and sisters who, you know, have medical issues, and we would go and we'd sing. And I just remember as a young kid seeing how much joy this brought. And it's like, we got to keep on doing this. We got to keep on helping. And, you know, like we would hear about, you know, a family that didn't have so much food. And actually, I just saw a friend of mine from high school who that was the first time I ever brought food to a family. And like, wow. We were just reflecting like that left such an impact. This is part of Advent.
Yeah.
This is like what the church is asking us to do in Advent. And those are some of the things that I mentioned in the book.
Yeah. I think too, just that time I think as, you know, we move into December, overall, there is an aspect that people become more generous. And I think that definitely resonates from our Christian past and history, that we know it is a time of giving of ourselves, as our Lord gave Himself to us in the Incarnation, like just the most magnificent gift of all. You know, and I think there's a profound mystery there that, you know, that we were allowed to really tap into and enter. And I think as we prepare, again, it's easy to get distracted by so many things. And it's not that they're bad things, but I think there is a realization whenever we do realize that Christ is the center and focus of our life.
Yeah, that's the reason why any gift has any meaning, right? Yeah. And so to understand that, I remember one time, got to be careful what you ask kids sometimes. We were giving gifts out in the Bronx, and I just asked the question, okay, you guys know why we're here, right? And this is one little kid said, I'm here for the presents. And I kind of like say like, yeah, we're here for the presents, but not the gifts. We're here for the presents that God brings, right? And so it was, I don't know if he got it. That didn't cheer him up. But I think that this is really the, you know, to remind people Jesus is the reason for the season. Mm-hmm. And the gifts that we bring, you know, like this whole culture, like, you know, in a sense, you know, in these days, our whole society, as materialistic and secularized as it is going to be singing Christian songs.
Oh, yeah.
And showing our Christian roots. And I think we need to kind of just like claim that and
right.
Say like, you know, this is why
this
is happening, and not allow it to become, you know, secularized and stuff.
Yeah.
And all the more reason to prepare our hearts.
Right. Well, we got to go to a break, but whenever we come back, let's get more into preparing our hearts for Advent. Father Augustino, we've been talking about Advent, preparing our hearts, and you've written a book on just how to do that, some of the steps to get us involved. And I think you've written actually a really good kind of beginner's plan for those who want to grow in their faith or those who are really seeking to know the truth. But one of the things I found very interesting is just kind of the breakdown. And you put actually in the beginning this emphasis on Nazareth. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So as I was praying about this, thinking, okay, like how can we talk about Advent? Because this isn't the first Advent book that's right. ever come out. But I had recently gone to the Holy Land, and we got to pray for the Holy Land. But it blew me away that we usually prepare for Christmas thinking about Bethlehem, because that's where Jesus mm-hmm. was born. But Joseph and Mary prepared for Jesus in Nazareth.
Yeah.
And Jesus grew in Nazareth. So if we want, you know, to think about ways and places that Jesus grew, there's this whole silent school of Nazareth. And actually I took it from Pope St. Paul VI, who there's a beautiful homily for Christmas that he wrote, and he called it the School of Nazareth. Like, what can Nazareth teach us? So I just took that to prayer and started thinking, and all these like meditations and thoughts started coming up, like what could have happened in forming, right, the Holy Family, like, yeah, you know, how the Holy Family lived in Nazareth and all the good stuff there.
I think there's a profound mystery, because whenever you're looking at Nazareth, even Bethlehem, you're really looking at the hidden life of Christ, which is kind of an obscure thing, because it's not that we just know as maybe other parts in the gospel, but you see just the divine working through the ordinary on just a daily basis of what most people are doing. And you think about that school of Nazareth. Now, outside of Jesus, you have the two greatest saints, Our Lady and Saint Joseph. They're tending to Jesus. And I think it goes back that they had such a strong desire to be with Jesus.
Absolutely. And I personally have a strong desire to be with them. I wish. So what do I just kind of imagine, you know, me as a little kid and just like wandering through the streets of Nazareth and being so attracted to this one house where the carpenter lives, and that sweet, sweet smiling lady always says hello to me from. It's just like there's something about it that we're built for, right? Yeah. And I think that there's a lot of healing that needs to happen in the hearts of all of our people these days. So much hurt, so much anger, so much division. And I really believe that if we return to Nazareth and knock on the door of the Holy House and ask to come in for dinner and sit next to child Jesus or adolescent Jesus or however old he is, I think a lot of healing can happen in our lives.
And you wonder what conversations took place
in the house.
You know, what were they talking about, you know? I always think that's such a powerful just thing of what was the ordinary like for the extraordinary in that regard. So, but one of the, I always forget who mentioned, but I think it was G.K. Chesterton, just even something to meditate on. It's like St. Joseph and his humility. It's like he taught Jesus, God, you know, the creator of the universe, how to build furniture.
Yeah.
And I always think about that, of how close God gets to us.
Yeah. In week three, I focus on Joseph, and I kind of talk about that. And I was just thinking, like, what did Joseph teach Jesus? So he's a carpenter, right? But really, they were like, they built houses. They were like construction workers. Right. And I was just thinking, you know, maybe Joseph, you know, went and felled a tree with Jesus and taught Jesus how to carry a heavy log.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe Jesus, when he was carrying the cross, remembered Joseph and saying, you carry it just like this so that the weight can be, you know, distributed. I don't know. Yeah. I was just thinking about that, thinking how Jesus might have thought of Joseph on that Good Friday, who taught him how to carry.
Well, see, that's a new thought to me because I've never thought of that.
Yeah.
But that is very extraordinary of something that even seeing the connection there with the wood. And, you know, I know with St. Joseph that he worked with wood, but in that regard of, you know, hauling lumber, which they probably did a lot of that you would think of. But I think too, going back to maybe even St. Francis, of what he kind of observed there with the Holy Family, of their suffering and poverty, and how we can apply that to our lives today.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing how in the poverty of the birth of Christ, there was just such incredible joy, right? You know, Scripture's just very clear, and the angel, I bring you tidings of great joy. And I think that in some ways, is of course our tradition, Franciscan tradition, you know, poverty and the Evangelical Council of Poverty opens your heart for that joy.
Mm-hmm.
It opens your heart to see the providence of God I'm revealing, maybe letting the cat out of the bag a little bit too much, but another meditation I was thinking of is that, you know, when Joseph was looking for a home in Bethlehem, he was knocking on the doors, and he's from there, it was probably his family, he was looking for his auntie or his uncle, and so they were the ones probably, you know, in the meditation, turning him away. And then instead of kind of being defeated, you know, he just had this creative courage and started, you know, painting a whole picture in that stable. It just says, oh, look, this is what magnificent palace that we have been given, you know, and inviting the Queen Mary and then preparing the way for the Lord. Just like thinking about it in those terms of joy, it just puts a whole other light on those moments in Bethlehem.
And they gave all what they had to Jesus, and he received it. And I think, again, that's something, you know, we don't, what can we give to Jesus? And sometimes it's like, man, nothing. But he accepts us even in our poverty.
Well, so that's going back to Nazareth. That's why I love Nazareth so much, because you can, like, Jesus will take the hidden, and that's really where holiness grows. Yeah. You know, we don't see a tree grow in front of us, but it grows. And so in the silence, in the ordinary, in the hidden, holiness grows in us.
Oh. Well, Father Augustino, we've run out of time, but this is a part one of two episodes. So we'll continue this discussion, but thank you and God bless.
Thank you very much.
So the church places before us the Advent season, which is a time of spiritual growth, a renewal and conversion in our life. And one of the points that Father Augustino really makes in this book is about being intentional during this Advent season, whether that be in our prayer life, our vigils, any kind of fasting we take up, or even going to penance, of really opening up ourselves to the Lord. And so during this Advent season, we want to make that full commitment, that renewal of our spirits, of our minds, of our hearts, of our bodies, to really receive the Lord during this Advent season. And again, Advent isn't a time that we just want to just kind of rush through, but take our time slowly to reflect, to pray, to contemplate, and to really think about those gifts that God has given us throughout the year, and maybe even some of the challenges that we may be facing in the future. So we want to make this Advent a very intentional time. So God bless you.
I was 18, pretty in pink and a prom queen. I didn't think I'd be sorry when I gave him my love. Raw emotions, for weeks I was late telling no one. Crying in pain, I was broken. When they told me it was done, no words to say the way I feel. Mother and child never seen but real. And I'm always gonna wonder who you would have been. Getting cold feet. Just to feel